Hello, everybody. Welcome to the program. I'm your host, Zach Drew. Listen, I'm telling you right now that this is a different program for me today. This is actually the very first program in, well, ever. I've been doing this show since 2018. As you know, I was Jim Baker's co-host for 7.5 years, and then I served at True News with Rick Wiles, and then I started this program in 2018. And this is the very first time ever, this show, where I am actually flying totally solo. I'm the only one in the studio today. I have been trained on how to handle all of the pre-production work, and then the show is then sent out for all of post-production editing and distribution. So I'm actually filming this show 2 days earlier than normal, hoping that I get it all right. Listen, I want to just welcome everybody watching the program this evening, wherever you're watching from. We're on so many different platforms today. And I do want to say hello to the new viewers on the Faith and Values platform. We actually just, we are now content creators on the platform. So if you're watching there for the first time, welcome. I hope you like the show. Today's program, once again, like we always do, we like to tell a story on the show where, you know, we might give article after article and, you know, different illustrations and so on and so forth. But every show we try to tell a whole story. So if you watch the first 5 minutes, you're not going to know where we're going. It might be good content, but you're not going to know where we're going. You got to watch the program until the end. And we got a lot to tie together on today's show. So let's go ahead and start off by, I want to lay the foundation for today's program by simply talking about a scripture verse, and it is Nahum chapter 3, verse 13, that says this: "The gates of your land are wide open for your enemies. Fire shall devour the bars of your gates." Now, understand this. I think you know this. Gates in that time would be the equivalent of our borders, that where there was the place of entry, the place of protection, and you were to guard those entry points. And so it says, "The gates of your land are wide open for your enemies." This would be modern translation of saying, "The borders of your land are wide open for your enemies." So you see, this was one of the signs of judgment given by God through the prophet Nahum to Nineveh. And the reasons for God judging Nineveh are shown absolutely clearly in the first 4 verses of chapter 3, which we will be reading today. But understand this, the judgment of Nineveh presages or foreshadows the judgment of the kingdoms of the earth in the end. And you will see a correlation on today's program between Nineveh of old and the destruction of Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon is talked about in Revelation 17, 18, and 19, which many believe, and you can make a strong case, that that is America, America. And let me just take a quick break by saying this. Topics like these, keeping you informed on world events, current events, always through a Christian biblical perspective, always bringing it back. That is why most of you tune in each week, week after week. So I want to remind everyone that watches this program, the only way we can do what we do is by you saying, "Zach, I love what you're doing. I love what God is doing through your program. I want to stand with you." We don't have any sponsors. Right now, we really don't even have any product. We are 100% supported through viewers like you. I'm talking to you. So if you would like to give, simply just go to ZachDrewShow.com and click that bright orange donate button. There you can either donate through Tithely, which is our Christian online payment service, or PayPal. You can also give the old-fashioned way by sending any donations to The Zach Drew Show at P.O. Box 797, Decatur, Illinois, 62525. We're going to jump in to the deep end of this content right after this. Oh, Let's talk about the border crisis. On President Biden's very first day in office, he halted deportations, suspended the Remain in Mexico policy for asylum seekers, stopped construction of the border wall. He then signed executive orders reversing Trump's immigration policies. Biden also ended the Title 42 policy employed by the Trump administration during the pandemic. The Biden administration then reinstated the catch and release policy, allowing the vast majority of illegals who cross the border to be released back into the United States. So a question for you, who's to blame? Who's to blame? Because if you ask Joe Biden, he's gonna give you a absolutely ridiculous answer. But the real culprit of who's to blame for our invasion at the southern border is nobody else other than President Joe Biden. Let's just look at some of these numbers. During the Trump administration, U.S. Border Patrol encounters of illegals at the southern border fluctuated with 303,000 apprehensions in 2017. Okay, so 303,000 illegals 2017 during President Trump's, while he was president. 396,000 in 2018, 851,000 in 2019, and then 400,000 in 2020. At this time, I would like to cue Joe Biden to the stage. You see, Joe Biden's policies then went into place, destroying what had been set in place, and the migrants encountered at our southern border absolutely exploded. In 2021, there were over, are you ready for this? 1.6 million illegals, beating all previous records ever. Never has this been done before, right? Then in 2022, encounters of illegals at the border blew away 2021 at 1.6 million. Yeah, to 1.6 million, 2022 was 2.4 million. And remember, the 1.6 blew away any record by a long shot that America has ever had. And then 2.4 million. And then last year in 2023, another record set with a total over 3.2 million illegal alien encounters. So, with that being said, who does Biden blame? Well, I think we all know who he's going to blame. No one other than Donald Trump. Take a listen to this.
Provides a pathway to citizenship for dreamers, temporary status holders, farm workers, and others. We need our colleagues to act. For decades, immigration reform has been a bipartisan in this country. Unfortunately, the mega Republican Congress and my predecessor spent 4 years gutting the immigration system under my predecessor. They continue to undermine our border security today, blocking bipartisan reform.
Republicans spent 4 years gutting the immigration system under Donald Trump. They continue to undermine our border security today. You know, I liked this bit from Australia's Sky News on the subject. Take a listen to this.
Biden has worked out who is actually at fault. He sat down, he's looked at it, he's gone, I know whose fault it is. Have a guess.
Every day between now and November, the American people are going to know that the only reason the border is not secure is Donald Trump and his MAGA Republican friends.
What? Now, I know that Biden said last week that Trump was the sitting president. So maybe he is confused here and thinks that Trump is currently in charge of the border. And that's why he says that. But
the only reason the border is not secure is Donald Trump and his MAGA Republican friends. So just a quick little timeline. So you have 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020. The Democrats screamed from the mountaintops, border walls are racist. Then Democrats in 2021, once their president was in office, there's no crisis at the border. And then Democrats in 2022, they then said, oh, there's no crisis at the border. And then in 2023, the Democrats then said, oh, there's no crisis at the border. But now, suddenly, in 2024, there's been a crisis at the border for years, and it's the GOP's fault. What is going on? This is unbelievable. Sometimes I have to laugh or get frustrated, right? And more often than I do, I get frustrated when I think about my country and how there are millions and millions of people who will hear Joe Biden say what he just said. Say, you know, the crisis at the border was created by MAGA Republicans who spent 4 years gutting the immigration system under Donald Trump. And here's the thing, they will believe every single word. It's not looking good. These millions of people, they either deal with just horrible, horrible memory loss and are unable to remember just how a few years ago, you know, how they foamed rapidly from the mouth with anger at the sheer thought of constructing the border wall, or the majority of them are so unbelievably separated from news, from world events that they're so astonishingly uninformed that they literally just hear one line, believe it, accept it as truth, and then are willing to fight about it, all while pretending to be informed citizens. I mean, this is what we're dealing with in America. Can you imagine what our American forefathers would think that fought and bled and died for this country? They'd roll over. They'd roll over in their graves. Listen, Joe Biden has been a politician for 47 years. What did he do for immigration reform in all that time? We went from the best border in our history to the worst border in history to basically no border at all. But listen, I'm sure you are frustrated just like I am, because we just can't make sense of it. You just can't make sense of it. What's going on? Why would they do this? The only thing our brains can come up with is, you know, these people just really hate America, right? That's what we think. At the core of it, we just think they just hate America. And I absolutely believe that they may hate America, yeah. But the real root of all of this, I believe the only explanation can be a spiritual one. And I want to ask you the question. Is America under judgment? Will America repent like Nineveh did when Jonah addressed their sins? Or will America be like Nineveh when Nahum delivered God's message? You see, the first time, the Assyrians, the Ninevites, they repented with Jonah. But the next time, Nahum, oh, destruction came. Destruction came. Nahum chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. I think a lot of this sounds a little bit like America. Woe to the bloody city, all full of lies and plunder. No end to the prey, the crack of the whip and rumble of the wheel, galloping horse and bounding chariot, horsemen charging, flashing sword and glittering spear, hosts of slain, heaps of corpses, dead bodies without end. They stumble over the bodies. This is important right here. And all for the countless whorings of the prostitute, graceful and of deadly charms, who betrays nations with her whorings and peoples with her charms. And then go down to verse 13. And that is why the gates of your land are wide open to your enemies. Fire has devoured your bars. You see, in the Bible, the harlot or prostitute image, depending on your translation, is used of wicked cities by the Old Testament prophets. Nineveh in Nahum, Tyre in Isaiah, Jerusalem in Ezekiel, and the same in the New Testament when we are dealing with the harlot of Mystery Babylon, who's mentioned in Revelation 17, 18, and 19, which outlines its destruction, okay? And I do, by the way, believe you can make a strong case that Mystery Babylon is America. And I want to say this one more time. Once again, the judgment of Nineveh foreshadows the judgment of the kingdoms of the earth. So it was because of the whoring of the prostitute. We're going to break down what that means. And that is why their borders were wide open to their enemies, because destruction was sure to follow. If you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to open it up to Revelation 17. We're going to be going through a few verses in 17 and then down then to Revelation 18. At this time, if you want to just pause the video to go get your Bible, I think that would be a good thing to do. So go ahead and pause it right now. Welcome back. Okay, so you now have your Bibles opened up to Revelation chapter 17, the Scarlet Woman and the Scarlet Beast. This is what it says, verse 1. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bulls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters." Now, many waters. Okay, well, that's subjective. What does that mean? Well, more than often, the Bible will translate itself if you just keep reading. Okay, so for example, if we did skip ahead in about 15 verses to Revelation 17, 15, it says, "Then he said to me, 'The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, plural, multitudes, nations, and tongues.'" So now go back to verse 1. It's essentially saying, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on or rules or has authority over a tremendous amount of people, not just a nation, but nations. The influence that this harlot has is worldwide influence. Verse 2, "With whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication." Now, once again, this is not, obviously the kings of the earth, all the kings didn't have sexual relations physically with this harlot, with this prostitute. This is speaking of spiritual fornication, that the kings of the earth and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of fornication. It's talking about becoming one with the world, becoming one with darkness, things that stand in stark contrast to God and His word and His holiness and His righteousness, becoming one with the world. Let's go down to verse 5. "And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement," or wonder. Now let's go to Revelation, for the sake of time, let's go to Revelation 18. Revelation 18 is the fall of this Mystery Babylon. "After these things, I saw another angel," and angel in the Greek, remember, New Testament was written in the Greek. Angel there just refers to, means messenger, right? So it can actually be like an angelic being, right? Like Michael or Gabriel, actually from the throne room of God. Or it could just simply, pastor would be translated as angel because it just simply means messenger for the Lord. "So after these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven." So another messenger coming down from heaven, having great authority. "And the earth was illuminated with his glory." So this messenger of God could be Jesus. "And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, 'Babylon the great is fallen, is fallen and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, which is talking about the love of the world. Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. So the church to some degree must be involved with her. How can you call your people out? Come out of her, my people. How can you call your people out if they are not within? Lest you share in her sins unless you receive her plagues. Let's go down to verse 7. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen, and I am no widow. I will not see sorrow. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day. Death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Verse 9, the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her. When they see the smoke of her burning standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. So it's in here that countries all over the world are crying because of her destruction. This would signify that this country, this mysterious city, right? She has universal influence. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Let's skip down to verse 15. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour, such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who traveled by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? And they threw dust on their heads. This is a biblical expression of great distress. And cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, the great city in which all who have had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. I think stock market, I think Wall Street, I think of just the wealth that we have been able to distribute to the world. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. So we notice through these texts that there are three primary groups of people upset by the destruction of Mystery Babylon. It is the kings of the earth, merchants, and those that trade by sea. So this is clearly, trade by sea. This is an economic judgment. The finality of Babylon's fall, verse 21. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus, with violence, the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, and trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore, and the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore. Never again will there be lights in Mystery Babylon. And the voice of the bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore. Whew, that's scary. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and saints, and all who were slain on the earth. And let's just read two more verses in Revelation 19. Revelation 19:1. After this, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven crying out, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for his judgments are true and just. For he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality and has avenged on her the blood of his servants." If you, all of these things, they are happening now and will happen. I can say with certainty, the Bible has stood the test of time. And if that is true, that means that you are an eternal being. You will live forever. For billions of years, you will live. You will exist. You will exist forever. Let that just kind of freak your brain out for a minute. You're an eternal being. Even if you wanted to stop, you could not. The moment you were conceived, you are forever. And you're going to live forever and ever in heaven or in hell. There is no alternative. And the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, the mediator between God and man. He is the mediator. He is the only one in which we can find salvation, the only one who can wash our sins away. It's Jesus. Because without him, we stand convicted. We stand in judgment before a holy and righteous God, deserving his wrath. But Jesus made a way. And it's not because I'm perfect or because I'm good. It is because I made Jesus the Lord and Master of my life. I repented of my sins, and I do my absolute best to follow him. Would you do that today? Would you confess your sins to God and repent, which means to turn away from them and cling to the Lord and say, "Lord, I believe that you are God's Son. You came here to die for my sins. You did die, and 3 days later, you rose again, and you are coming back." The word says to believe with your, or to say with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, then you will be saved. Do that, because your eternity hangs in the balance. I love you guys. And once again, if you're watching on the new platform, Faith and Values, we welcome you to this weekly program, The Zach Drew Show. We'll see you all next week.